John chapter 5, the witnesses of our Lord. Verse 30. The Master says, I can of mine own self do nothing. He's speaking here, the Son of God in human flesh, the Son of Man. He's the Messiah standing on the earth. And he says, I can of my own self, separate from the Father, do nothing. Now he's talking here of the unity of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He says, I can do nothing independent of my Father. I can do nothing separated from the will and purpose of my Father because I and my Father are one. You know, the Scripture says God cannot lie. Our Lord's saying here, I cannot do anything of myself apart from the Father. And the Scripture says God cannot lie. And when the Scripture says God cannot lie, it's not implying any weakness on the part of God or any lack of power on the part of God. But the God's very nature will not permit him to lie. His very nature will not permit him to lie. His nature can't produce a lie. So the nature and person of this Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, cannot produce anything contrary to the will of the Father. I always do those things that please my Father. Thank God he did. That's our righteousness. He says here, as I hear, I judge. As I hear my Father, I speak those things which my Father gave me to speak. The words that I speak are not my words, they're his words. And that's the very thing he said of the Holy Spirit. In John 16, turn there just a moment. John 16, verse 13. What the Savior says about himself, he says too about the Holy Spirit. John 16, 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he'll guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. I know sometimes we say, well, he won't talk about himself. No, he won't either. He won't glorify himself. But he's saying here, he'll not speak things that he decides to speak. As he hears, he judges. Christ said, as I hear, I judge. And because it comes from the Father, it's just. And that's what he says here about the Holy Spirit. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and show you things to come. Now, that's what he's saying there in that verse when he says, I can of my own self do nothing. And then in verse 31, he says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now, we've got to be very careful in interpreting these words. It'd be blasphemy. It'd be blasphemy to charge our Lord with bearing false witness. Anything he says is true if he's the only one that says it. That's true. Whatever he says is true if he is the only one that says it. But what he's saying here is this. He's speaking as the man Christ Jesus. He's speaking as the Messiah. And he declares this. If I am the only witness of who I am and what I came to do, and of my relationship with the Father, if I'm the only one who knows that and who says that and who testifies to that fact, if I'm the only one, I'm the only one, my witness is not credible. My witness will not hold up in court. It's not valid before the law, even in the court of the Jews. No man is admitted to the bar or to the court or to the law, as the only witness of himself. The Scripture says, I read it to you Wednesday night, let every word be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let's turn to that in Deuteronomy 19. You who are not here Wednesday night, my wife Doris was called for jury duty up in Catlettsburg a few years ago, and had a man there charged with some crime. And they only had one witness, just one, that's all. And the prosecuting attorney said to the prospective jurors, Does it present a problem to you that there's just one witness in judgment on this man? Nearly all of them said, that don't bother me. They're sitting there thinking, it bothers me that there's just one witness, because the scripture says, Deuteronomy 19, verse 15, God says, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or any sin, in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall every word be established. And do you know that's in the Bible 7 times? Our Lord quoted it twice. And that's what he says right here. He says, if I bear witness of myself, if my testimony is only the testimony of who I am and what I came to do, my relationship with the Father is not credible. Not credible. But our Lord has more than one witness. Verse 32. That's who we're talking about this morning, our Lord's witness. He says, there is another that beareth witness of me. There's another man who bears witness of me. Another very special man. A man who's alive today. He's in prison, but he's alive. John the Baptist. And his witness is true. And he beareth witness of me still. There's another that, he didn't say did bear witness. He said there's another that beareth witness of me. And I know his witness is true, which he witnesses with me. Now, he's talking about John the Baptist. And he chose to use John the Baptist as his first witness for the benefit of these scribes and Pharisees who were familiar with the Old Testament scriptures. And John the Baptist's ministry as the forerunner of Christ is over and over again in the Old Testament. Let's read a few of them. Look at Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. I'll give you time to find it, because these Old Testament prophecies are so important because they testify of Christ. They bear witness of Christ. Everything in the Old Testament written of him was fulfilled by him. And here in Isaiah 40, it says in verse 3, the voice of one of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. That's the coming of Christ. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And the voice said, cry. And he said, well, now, Lord, what shall I cry? He's the forerunner. You tell them all flesh is grass, and all the glory, goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. Look at verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come. He'll come with strong hand, and his arm will rule for him, and his reward is with him, his works before him. This is Christ. He'll feed his flock like a shepherd. He'll gather the lambs with his arms. He'll carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. That's John the Baptist in the Old Testament, prophesying of his ministry, his witness of Christ. Let me show you another one. I turn to Malachi, the very last book in the Old Testament, 400 years before Christ came. This is the last of the witnesses in the Old Testament, leading to John the Baptist. Malachi 3, verse 1, the last book in the Old Testament. Behold, I'll send my messenger, and he'll prepare the way before me. What did you just read in Isaiah 40? Prepare you the way of the Lord. He'll prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek, the Messiah, the desire of all nations, the priest like Melchizedek, the prophet like Moses, the son of David, the root of Jesse, the Lord whom you seek, for whom you look, shall suddenly come to his temple. Come to his temple. And that morning, that old priest, Simeon, was standing in the temple. And God had said to him, you'll not see death till you see the Lord's Christ. You'll not die till you see the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. And that old man's hair was white and beard was long, shoulders stooped. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. And in walked Mary with that baby in her arms to do as the Old Testament required of a mother with a young child. And that old man took that baby up in his arms with the promise of God on his heart. And I said, Lord, let your servant depart in peace. I've seen your salvation. The messenger has come to the temple. The Lord whom you seek will come to his temple. He's the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. All right, Malachi 4. Here's another prophecy of John the Baptist. Malachi 4, verse 5. Now then, this is the last word in the Old Testament. She's closed now with this. Behold, look up and listen. I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. I'll send you that prophet, like Elijah. And the Lord Jesus told who that is. He told his disciples who this is. No need to wonder who this prophet is that comes before Christ as a forerunner. Matthew 11. No need to wonder who that is, because the Savior himself tells us who it is. Matthew 11, verse 11. John was still in prison, and John had inquired of the Lord, are you he that should come, or do we look for another? He was down there in prison. He thought this thing winding up, you know, and no Messiah, but he understood. In verse 11, Matthew 11, verily I say unto you, Christ said this, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there's not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that's least in the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the energetic and the serious-minded take it by force. For all the prophets and all the law prophesied unto John. Now listen, and if you receive it, this is Elijah. That word Elias is Elijah, which was to come. Our Lord says, if you'll receive it, this is the one Malachi was talking about when he said, I'll, just before the coming of the great day of the Lord, I'll send the prophet. And that's John the Baptist. Now look back at my text, John 5. In John 32, there he says, there's another that bears witness of me, and I know his witness is true because he witnessed of me, which he witnesses is true. Now verse 33, you fellas sent to John, you inquired of John. You sent a delegation to John. You sent a deputation of priests and Levites to inquire of John, and he told you, he bore witness of the truth. You sent a delegation to him. Let's read about that in John 1. Let's read about that delegation. These John was a, you know, sometimes the movies, I tell you, in television, they picture John the Baptist as some wild man out there in the wilderness. Have you seen John the Baptist in these movies? Long, stringy hair and wild, raving maniac. And that wasn't John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a miracle child born of Zacharias and Elizabeth when they were as old as Abraham and Sarah. And God promised Zechariah that he would give a son that would be a prophet of God. And Zechariah had a trouble believing it. And the angel of the Lord says, you'll be dumb till that boy's born. You won't speak a word. And God struck him dumb. Elizabeth was the kin to Mary. 6 months before the Lord Jesus was conceived, John the Baptist was conceived in the womb of Elizabeth. And his daddy was dumb till that boy was born. And the angel said, call him John. Call him John. And when John was born, his daddy still hadn't spoken a word in 9 months. And when John was born, the people around said, what are you going to name him? And his mama said, we're going to name him John. And one of those people said, there's no John in your household. You can't name him John. There's never been a John in your house. He's going to be. And they asked his daddy. They said, what you going to name him? But he couldn't talk. So they gave him a pen and a quill. And he wrote, "His name is John." And when he did, God opened his mouth and he praised the Lord. That's right. Our God's so wonderful. Well, these fellas, let me tell you about the way they looked at John. They feared him. The king feared John. Herod feared John. He went out to hear him. He did many things. He admired John. The priests and the Levites, they feared John. They respected him. They knew his character. And here in John 1, turn over there, they sent a whole bunch of these fellas, these priests and Levites and big-time fellas, rulers of the Jews, they sent them out there in the wilderness where John was preaching, and all these people were going to hear him. It says all Judea and all Jerusalem went to the wilderness to hear John. That's what Scripture says in Matthew 3. And they were baptized of him, everybody but the priests and the Pharisees. The common people heard him gladly. Common people heard him gladly. And it says in verse 19, this is the record, John 1, 19. This is the record of John. The Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem, and they went on a long journey. He was down beyond Jordan preaching. And these fellows came all the way from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" You reckon all of these fellows would have gone to ask some maniac out in the wilderness, ranting and raving who he is? They don't care who he is. But they worried about this fellow. He's God's anointed, the greatest man born of woman. "Who are you?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I'm not the Christ." They even thought he might be the Messiah. They held him in such repute and honor. He said, "I'm not the Messiah." Well, they asked him, "Who then? Are you Elijah? Are you that prophet? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I'm not." "Are you that prophet?" What prophet? Deuteronomy 18. Well, these fellows knew the Scriptures. In Deuteronomy 18, God said to Moses, "I'll raise up a prophet among the people like unto you, and him shall the people hear. And anybody won't hear him, I'll deal with him." They said, "That's who you are?" "No." Well, they said, "Who are you? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. We're a delegation, a deputation of important people sent by the highest of all of them. We want to tell them who you are. What do you say of yourself?" Here's his testimony. "But our Lord say, he bear witness of me." Boy, this is beautiful. Listen. He said, "I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness." That ought to ring a bell, shouldn't it? Isaiah 40, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He said, "That's who I am." Isaiah 40. "Make straight the way of the Lord," as the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why do you baptize then, if you're not the Christ, and you're not Elijah, and you're not that prophet Moses promised?" He answered them, saying, "I baptize you with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not." There's one already here, born in Bethlehem, walking the streets of Judea and the lanes of Capernaum, whom you don't know. He came in his own received him. He it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. He has all preeminence. And these things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptized. And the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. He was before me." He's from the foundation of the world, eternal. "And I knew him not, but he that sent me, but he that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, it abode upon him, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water. The same said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw, I bear record, this is the Son of God. This is the Son of God. I go back to my text. Verse 34, our Lord said, but I receive not testimony from man. I don't need a man to tell people who I am, but these things I say that you might be saved. You see, these men were familiar with the Scriptures. And by the Scriptures, let every word be established. And what our Lord was doing was taking them back to their own Bible and showing them that John the Baptist was prophesied by Isaiah, by Malachi, by all these prophets of old. And his coming was a fulfillment of that prophecy, that these people might be saved. What they were rejecting and resisting was the promise of their own prophets. Their own prophet. Now look at verse 35. He was a burning and a shining light. My, what he was. What a light he was. He said, I'm not that light. I'm a witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. And you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. One of the old writers said this about John the Baptist and these fellows' relationship with him. He said this, listen, when John first appeared, they were proud of him. They gloried in him, that a man of such gifts and wisdom should be raised up among the Jews. They were in captivity then. John the Baptist, even Herod was going to hear him preach. The court, all Judea. And they flocked to him. They flocked about him. Many of the Pharisees and the rulers came to hear him. That's what Matthew said. But when they found out he was not the Messiah, when they found out he was not Elijah, and he was not that prophet, but he came to bear witness of Jesus of Nazareth, when they found that out. When John the Baptist pushed their attention from him to the hated Christ, pushed their attention from him to the Messiah. When they found out that he came to bear witness to Jesus of Nazareth, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, and John's message ran contrary to their thoughts of their own righteousness. John's message, he said, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. His message ran contrary to their thoughts of their own righteousness, that their works and their ceremonies and their traditions were of no use. That Jesus of Nazareth came not to establish an earthly kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom of righteousness and peace, and die as a sacrifice for sinners. They despised John. They despised John, and they rejected his baptism. The Scripture says they refused the witness of God against themselves. All right, verse 36. Christ said, John the Baptist bore witness of me. Verse 36. I have greater witness than that of John. The works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father sent me. What's he talking about? The works. He said on one occasion, if you believe not me, for my sake, believe the works of my works. My works. Well, I think, in a sense, he refers to the miracles that he performed. The Old Testament speaks of that. Turn to Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35, verse 4 through 6. Isaiah 35. I'm saying that Christ did mighty miracles, many complete miracles, miracles impossible for a human being to perform. And it says here in Isaiah 35, verse 3, strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees, and say to them that have a fearful heart, be strong, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He'll come and save you. And then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And the lame man will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. And in the wilderness shall waters break forth, break out like streams in the desert. Well, when John the Baptist sent disciples to our Lord and said, are you the Christ, or do we look for another? He said, you go tell John what you've seen. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dead are raised. And Nicodemus came and said to him, we know you're from God, because nobody could do what these miracles you do except God be with him. And the Pharisees knew this. Turn to John 11. They were troubled over these miracles. John 11. And incidentally, Evelyn, this is that last sermon that Bill preached before he left here at 13th Street. This is the one. John 11, verse 47. Listen to this. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees and the council and said, now what are we going to do? This man doeth many miracles. We got to do something. If we leave him alone, everybody's going to believe on him. And the Romans will come and take away our place in our nation. And one of them named Caiaphas, the high priest, that same year, said to them, you don't know anything. Now consider, isn't it expedient for us that one man should die for the people rather than the whole nation perish? Verse 51 said he didn't say this of himself, but being a high priest, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but also that also he should gather together in one the children of God that scattered abroad. But these fellows were upset, and they said, he's doing so many miracles, everybody's going to believe on him. So Caiaphas, the high priest, said, well, let's kill him. It'd be better for him to die than everybody else die. And that's what the Lord said. Better for him to die than all of you die. So he died for us. And we're set free. But miracles. But you know, the miracles are only pictures of his work. The miracles making the blind to see, and the deaf to hear, and the lame to walk, and the dead to be raised. That's not salvation. That's a picture of salvation. That's not our Lord's work. He didn't come down here just to heal folks, because they're going to die again. They'll raise the dead. He came to save. He came that the spiritually blind might see. That's the works that the Father gave him to do. He came that those who can't hear God will be able to hear God. He came that those who are dead in sin should be raised. And all of these people that our Lord healed, making the blind to see, is a picture of, I see. I didn't see. I couldn't see. I wouldn't see. But he performed a work of grace, and now I do see. I do see. I see Christ as the Redeemer. I see I'm a sinner, without help, without hope, without God in this world. And he's my only hope. His blood maketh atonement for my soul. His righteousness gives me a perfect standing before God. And I see. And I'll never be blind again. And I hear him speak through his word. Him that speaketh from heaven. I'm hearing him this morning. I hope you're not just hearing me. I hope you're hearing him. And I can walk. I can run like a deer. This old man's perishing, but inside I'm a hopping around. I'm renewed every day. I'm alive by Christ. That's his word. He said that. Look at John 5 again. Verse 36. I have greater witness than that of John. The works which the Father hath given me to finish. Were they finished? On the cross. He said it's finished. In John 17, where I preached tonight, he said, Father, now glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. I have finished the works you gave me to do. That's the works that testify of him. And nobody knows Christ till they know those works. Nobody knows who he is or why he came or where he is now unless they see in him the works of God completely finished. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him. He finished it. Verse 37. Our Lord bore witness, John the Baptist bore witness, his redeeming works bear witness, and the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. But you've never heard his voice before at any time nor seen his shape. He's talking about all people never heard the voice of God. Almighty God bore witness. I'm talking about the Father now. The Father bore witness of Christ through the prophets. He spake to our fathers, the prophets. The Father bore witness of Christ in the Old Testament scriptures. The Father bore witness of Christ by angels that visited the earth and bore witness. Abraham entertained angels. He spoke to other people by angels. He bore witness by angels in the New Testament. The angel came to, the angel wrestled with Jacob. That's the angel of the Lord, but that's not the Father. That was the Son. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord, appeared and spoke to people before his incarnation. He wrestled with Jacob. He was Melchizedek who met Abraham. In Judges, when Manoah and his wife made that altar and sacrificed that sacrifice to the Lord, and the angel of the Lord was standing here, he's the one who told them to offer that sacrifice. And they offered a sacrifice, which is a type of Christ. It's a sacrifice of blood that they offered and built the fire. And as the smoke was going to heaven, this angel of the Lord got in that sacrifice and rose up in the smoke. And just before that, one of them had said, "Who are you?" He said, "My name's Secret. Wonderful." That was Christ. Has to be. No angel of God would get into a sacrifice, would even have anything to touch about a sacrifice. He is our sacrifice. See, they were offering that lamb, a picture, but the lamb. That's right. So God, the Son spoke, the angel spoke, but the Father didn't. But when our Lord Jesus Christ stood in that river, Jordan, with John the Baptist, the scripture says, "Lo, a voice from heaven." Christ said, "I have greater witness than," verse 37, "the Father himself, which sent me, bore witness to me." The scripture says, when he stood in that river, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." That's the Father. That's when he spoke and bore witness to Christ. And our Lord took three disciples, Peter, James, and John, and went to the mountain to pray. And while on that mountain, the scripture says he was transfigured. His clothes glistened like the sun. And there appeared talking with him Moses and Elijah. Moses, who represents the law, Elijah, the prophets, the law and the prophets. They appeared and talked with him. What did they talk about? I know. It's in Scripture. They talked about his death on the cross. That's what it said. And they talked about the death he would accomplish, the works that he would accomplish. And when Moses and Elijah disappeared, and Lord, they saw none but Jesus only, and a cloud engulfed them. And a voice out of that cloud said, "This is my Son. Hear him." That's a powerful witness. At one time, our Lord Jesus was walking along, and he lifted his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, glorify thy name." And the voice from heaven said, "I have glorified it, and I'll glorify it again." My Father, him. Bore witness of me. That's one of the chief reasons I believe who he is and worship him. He's the Father's Son. And all these other religions, they don't have a Father and a Son and a Holy Spirit and a sacrifice for sinners. They don't have a salvation. They've got a code of morality and a code of other things, but they don't have a code of righteousness. That's right. But there's one more witness. Down verse 39. And he told them in verse 38 there, said, you fellows, you don't have his word abiding in you. You read it, but you don't have it abiding in your heart. My word hath no place in your heart, he said. My word has no place in your heart. And the proof of that is, him whom God sent, they don't believe. But now he says in verse 39, you search the scriptures. And they did. They were students of the scriptures. They searched the scriptures, read the scriptures, taught the scriptures, transcribed the scriptures. Why? Because in the scriptures you think you have eternal life. I tell you, these fellows had a Bible in their hands, as people do today. The Bible in their hands. They read the scriptures, as people do today. They memorized the scriptures, as people do today. They hear the scriptures preached, at least in word. And they read its laws and endeavor to keep them. And they observe the days of the scripture and the laws of the scripture and the ordinances of the scripture. And try to do the works of the scriptures because they think in the scriptures they have life. That's what he says to these. You have the scriptures. You search the scriptures. You do that because you think that's where life is. But he says the scriptures testify of me. I'm the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You can't come to God by the scriptures. You come to God by Christ. The scriptures won't wash you and make you clean, but his blood will. The scriptures won't clothe your nakedness and give you righteousness, but he will. They testify of me. And he says, you won't come to me. You come to the front, you come to the preacher, you come to the priest and confess your sin. You come to anything but to him who has the power to make you whole. Isaiah said, who believes what we got to say? Who believes our witness? Who believes our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I kind of think everybody in here this morning would say, I do. I do. I believe. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Increase my faith. I believe. I believe he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. Please the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When I shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and thank God, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. I want to be in the hand of him in whose hand the pleasure of the Lord is prospering. That's where I want to be. Hide me, Savior, in thy hand. Keep